Thank you. Good night. I first have two reflections on the nature of measurement models, like those in IoT. Then I will make a few comments on criteria for choosing between probabilistic models, like those in IoT. And finally, I will take a position in this debate. Here's my first reflection, and it comes close to a point made by Jeff Masters in his previous discussion. In the previous discussion, the reflection goes as follows. All measurement in behavioral sciences involves latent variables. Measurement is never a direct comparison of manifest observable quantities with some known standard. You probably agree with this point, so that's not my point. My point is that you may assume that simply that because we talk about those latent quantities or latent variables, that they exist, that they are out there, and that we only have to collect data to measure them. This is incorrect. A latent variable is not an empirical quantity, but an hypothesis. And the only way to know this latent variable is through a model. Models formulate hypothetical relations between observables and the latent variable, which itself is a hypothetical entity. So, to some extent, psychometricians live in a hypothetical or latent space. And the Archimedean point they have is a man-made model. And we know that those models are never fully true, but always, to some extent, idealizations, abstract schemes to represent reality. What lessons can we learn from this? It's the following lesson. Be modest, be modest, be modest. And never be dogmatic. Second reflection. Is test theory an empirical science, just like biology or physics? The answer is simple. Yes, it is. No, it's not. On the one hand, we model behavior of subjects. And that's a natural part of our object. That's where we assume the variables we are going to measure to be located. And this respects our models resemble those in biology, where we may model growth, or in economics, where we model market behavior. And the models have to be good. On the other hand, the behavior is elicited by something artificial, the test item. And in this respect, our models belong to a science of the artificial. Those test items are not man-made, are man-made, not given by God. We can replace them and get different behavior. And the interest in them, our interest in them is not as such, but only as a means to an end. And we don't distort reality if we place an item in a test. How do we get those items? Content experts give them, or curriculum specialists. How do we know they are correct? Where do those content experts get their insights from? From taxonomies, learning objectives, textbooks, and something called face validity. So on the one hand, we have test theorists with fancy mathematical models, but they live in a hypothetical world. And on the other hand, we have content specialists with hardly any theoretical or empirical underpinning for the test items. What's the lesson to be learned from this? Let both parties be modest, be modest, be modest. How are we going to choose between models given these two reflections? We need criteria, and I will discuss them separately, but of course, they only hold in relation to each other. There are often trade-offs or even conflicts between these criteria. The first criterion is simplicity. That's a well-known criterion in science. The simpler the model, and here, the fewer the number of parameters, the better it is. Of course, a model should fit reality. That's a very important issue here. But within a tolerable range of fit, the simpler the better. Or across applications, the more stable the behavior of our estimators, the simpler the model is. There's a well-known dilemma here, the dilemma of stability and validity, or bias and accuracy. I'm not saying that models with two or three parameters are wrong. This is probably not a decisive criteria here, but it is a criteria. And if you're talking about many models with many more parameters, there's always the danger of overfit and capitalization on chance.
Our program continues on side 3 of the next cassette.